The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Hallelujah. If the word states how I'm going to walk, then that's how I'm going to walk and no other way. Is it that God's way? Or no way at all. Hallelujah. Praise God. Are you blessed this morning? Okay, bless you. Be seated. Head of my mind. Hallelujah. Are you excited this morning? Praise God. It's good to see us. Help me smile at your neighbor. Say, neighbor. With a smile. If you will not smile, don't say anything. Just smile at the person and say, neighbor. You look so beautiful today. Okay, maybe don't use this. Say something wonderful. It's been long we did that, right? Say something sweet. Make sure it's true. Something sweet to your neighbor. Say, I love your dress. I love your hair. You look amazing. I love how you smile. Your dimples, they're fine. You know, this may be the first time he's hearing something good since this year, which is after lockdown. So say something wonderful to the person. Hallelujah. Well, you guys are looking amazing this morning. And the choir. Yeah, the expression. Hallelujah. Bless God. Good to see you this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. How was this a fact? Huh? Was a blessing, right? Hallelujah. So much testimonies. So much. I mean spiritual, physical. Many of you have taken off. Many of you. And you won't stop. Hallelujah. I said something at the beginning of this year. By 31st of December, it will be obvious to you that you are not where you used to be. You will just know. And it will be obvious to you that it happened by God. By God. That scripture, by my God, I have leaped over a wall. It shall be so obvious. Hallelujah. I welcome you this morning for coming around. And thank you, right, for coming around. Now, I'm starting a series today called Out of Darkness. Hallelujah. That's not being called out of darkness. It's going to run for the next 3 weeks. Called Out of Darkness. I'm going to be talking about you this morning. Hallelujah. I'm going to be talking about you. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. You know this old song that says, we are a chosen generation. You know the song? A royal priesthood. A holy nation. Called forth. Called to show forth the praise of him who has called us out of the... How many of you know this song? Let's do it. No, that's not even the song. That's not the song. It's a very old song. We are a chosen generation, a holy priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people to show forth. No, that's not it.
Out of darkness. Into his marvelous light.
Yeah, scripture. Yeah. Some of you got saved yesterday. As a matter of fact, we've been here all the while. 20th century, 19th century. We've been doing this. Hallelujah. These songs you sing those days. That there was no keyboard, just at your hand. We are a chosen generation. But the fact that the song is old doesn't mean it's not correct. You know. Very powerful song. We are a chosen generation. Royal priesthood. A holy nation. Switch back to King James. But ye are a chosen generation. He said, a royal priesthood and holy nation. A peculiar people. Okay. But next. That you should do what? Show forth praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now verse 10. Now, He says, which in time past we are not a people, but are now the people of God. We shall not obtain mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Now I'll be teaching from this scripture, these two verses, throughout for this Sunday, next Sunday, and next Sunday. Hallelujah. How many of you love the word of God? Hallelujah. Praise God. Now the emphasis, the Bible said, we are called out of darkness. I'll get to another part of that scripture later. But he said, we are called out of darkness. Now, when the Bible says we are called out of something, it goes to mean that we were there. Right? That if you have never been in darkness, then we wouldn't say you were called out of it. And so the reason you were called, of course, Peter was talking to believers. He looks at us and says, you are called out of darkness. That means there was darkness. Hello? That means you were in darkness. Now, the question is, what is darkness? If I answer that, I want to establish that every believer today used to be in darkness. Nobody is born again from the mother's womb. You get the point? There used to be darkness. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8, he said, you were sometimes, Paul was right saying the same thing that Peter said. He said, for you are sometimes darkness. He said, but now. So he tells you, before now, we used to be darkness. But Peter would say we are called out of darkness. Paul says we are not just called out, we were darkness. So this is the state of the man, of course I'm growing out of myself, who is not saved. In Colossians chapter 1 verse 13, Paul goes over the same thing again. He says, you had delivered us from the power of darkness. So Peter says, we are in darkness. Paul says in Ephesians 1 verse 8 that we were darkness. Now Paul says in Colossians 1 verse 13 that we were under the power of darkness. I get that point? So it goes to show that we were everything identified with darkness. Now the question is, what is darkness? I'll tell you simply. In John chapter 3 verse 17, I'm going from the known, but we'll get into the business of today. In John 3 verse 17, look at the screen. For God sent not his son, into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be. Okay. Verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned. So, what is the definition of condemnation? Not believing. Okay. Because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten of God. Now, verse 19. And this is the condemnation. That light is come into the world, and men loved what? Darkness. So, what is the proof that they love darkness? They didn't believe in the Son. Are you still here? And so, what the Bible refers to as darkness is a state of the heart, is a state where the heart is evil, where a man does not believe. So, darkness is simply one word, unbelief. And so, when a man does not believe the gospel, does not believe in Jesus, the Bible declares him as one in darkness. So, when the Bible talks about darkness, the Bible is referring to unbelief in the heart of men. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, we looked at this last Sunday, a part of this one, I was talking about Genesis. He said, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Verse 4, in whom the God of this world has what? Come on, talk back to me. Have what? Okay, what is the proof that the God of this world has blinded their hearts? Come on. What is the proof? Which believe not. So their unbelief is the blindness that has been cast on their hearts. Are you following me this morning? In whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not. So he blinded their hearts. He put darkness there. How he did it is to stop them from believing, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And so the darkness is unbelief. The darkness is condemnation that comes by men not believing in Jesus. And so every man that is not saved is in darkness. He is in darkness. Ephesians 5:8 says he is darkness. Colossians 1:13 says he is under the power of darkness. Hallelujah. Are you still here this morning? Are you still here this morning? And so he called us out. I'll come to this later, but then emphasis on he. Go back to 1 Peter 2 verse 9. You are just a generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Okay, a peculiar people. That you should show for the praise of him who had called you. Now when he says who has called you, he tells you that moving from darkness, coming out of darkness was not your doing. I see, yeah? It means someone did it. He called us. Say, I'm out of darkness. You must not talk this morning. Say, I am out of darkness. So he called us out of darkness. You see, so this happened when we believed the gospel. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. Verse 3 says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that believe not also. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. Come on. Okay, them that are lost. Now, verse 4 now says, in whom the God of this age has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, shine on them. Now, and verse 5 will say, for we preach not ourselves, but who? Now, verse 6. Let's read together verse 6. 1, 2, 3, go. For God, commanded light, shine out of darkness, has shined where? Okay. What did he shine in our hearts? The light of the knowledge of the glory of God. And so this light, which I will come to next week, this light is believing the gospel. The light that eradicates darkness is the gospel. So when the Bible said we have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light, what that means is we've been called out of unbelief into believing the gospel. I think that's a very simple thing to understand. The unbelief is darkness in the hearts of men. And I say this whenever I teach on this. Most of us think how to determine whether a person is in darkness or not is by looking at a person's action. That may help, but that can be misleading. Because people can pretend. Are you getting the point? People can act like everything is okay. And you might just think they are perfect. You might just think they are saved. That's why whenever I get this one, I normally joke with this. I say, you're a lady, you want to marry a born again Yahoo boy. You want to get married to someone that even though he's not really a church person, but at least he it's not like he's born again like that. You need to realize that once there is darkness in the heart of man, which is unbelief, you see, the person is in darkness. It doesn't matter the person's conduct today. You might meet, if you meet an unbeliever that does not drink, that does not smoke, that does not womanize, but he's not yet saved. He's not different from the other one that smokes, drinks, and womanizes. Why? There is darkness in their heart. I get the point. They are in darkness. You can't explain it away. You either agree or you agree later when you're already married. Because you don't realize that once a man is unsaved, you see, there is darkness all over. The Bible says, one, he is in darkness. Two, he is darkness. Three, which is more important, which is very terrible, he is under the power of darkness. In other words, Satan can control that person at any time. And that's why I normally say this to you. You know, when you marry an unbeliever, Satan is not looking for a way to enter your home. He's in the expressway. Let me say this to you. And I normally teach couples when they come around, I say, make sure you pray, because when Satan wants to attack a home, he will most likely come through the less prayerful person. And that's the truth. I hope you know that. That's why I'm not talking about marriage this morning. Don't wish to marry someone that you'll be covering in prayer. Should I say it again? Let me tell this side. Listen. Don't wish to marry someone that you'll be covering in prayer. Don't marry people that beg for prayer. Put me in your prayer. Oh, excuse me. My prayer is full. And because once the person is not saved, because once that is the case, Satan just knows how to enter your home. He just looks for the less prayerful person. And before you know, he starts making unnecessary issue. Say, why are you always like this? This is a cloth you've been wearing all the while, and he's been saying you look so wonderful. Then you say, what was this one I'm wearing today? Don't you see other girls? You know what is happening? Satan has entered your home. You know, some of you think that entering your home is when you see a black thing entering and saying, hello, here am I. I'm Satan. Who are you? No, that's not. He will come before you know. It's not like how you press toothpaste in this house. Do you want to finish your toothpaste? I use your mask dustbin. I want to finish everything. And all these things, Satan is getting entrance. He's the least prayer person. But let me say this to you. When the person is not saved at all, is an express way for the devil at every time. And an unbeliever that is not drinking today can start drinking tomorrow. Take it from me. That a mango tree is not bearing mango fruit today does not mean it will bear it tomorrow. It's not yet mango season. When mango season comes, it will bear the fruit. Don't explain it away. Don't say, well, but sir, he's not really a church type. Or he likes church, oh. He doesn't go, but he likes it. Even wakes me up for me to go. Imagine what I say. Well, that's by the way. I'm saying every man that is not saved is in darkness. There's a state of darkness. In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus was emphatic about it. He talks about himself as being the light of the world. John 8, verse 12. He said, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And so, he that does not follow me is walking in darkness. There's no way to explain this. There's no way to exaggerate it or to explain yourself out of it. If you're not saved, you're in darkness. I'm not insulting you. I'm just stating a fact. But you can be saved today. Hallelujah. And that's why, when you understand this fact, this is not my assignment, I just want to dwell a little on this. When you understand this fact, you understand the point of evangelism. You understand why you should not stop until your brothers get saved. You understand why you should not stop until your friends get saved. Because no matter how moral they are, if they are not saved, they are hell bound. Are you getting the point? If they are not saved, darkness is in their hearts. If they are not saved, they are under the influence of the power of darkness. And that's why you find out, because I want to talk about something this morning. I want to talk about deliverance this morning, amen? Because this is what it means to be possessed. Colossians 1:30, let's get it again. Some of you think being possessed is where you begin to do like snake. Oh, no. Hallelujah. How many of you ever went for deliverance? Raise your hand, or think I don't know. Raise your hand. Bring it down. How many of you vomited something? Raise your hand. Hallelujah. Okay. How many of you after deliverance, you are seeing dream? Did you ever see yourself inside meeting? In your dream? What are you guys wearing? Black and red. You guys are possessed too. Please look around. Everybody answering. Be careful. You know, be careful of them. And you know, amazingly, till today, and I'm not against deliverance ministry. I'm not against it. But I'm gonna put it in perspective this morning. I get to the point. Because you need to understand what it means. That's bringing up a little. What it means that somebody is possessed. Who had delivered us from the power of darkness? Power of darkness. That power is the Greek word exousia. It means authority. Okay, should I put it that way? It means influence. Right? So it means there is darkness. And this darkness I explained to you, which is the reign of Satan. Hello? Darkness is the reign of Satan. Now, Paul is saying he delivered us. In other words, previously we were under the influence of the reign of Satan. I get the point. We were under the influence of the reign of Satan, who had delivered us out from the power of darkness. And this is what deliverance really means. That word delivered in that verse is the Greek word ruomai. It's R-H-U-O-M-A-I. It means to deliver a person from one place to another. So he said he has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us. And so the true deliverance is to be freed from the power, from the influence of darkness. That is what deliverance really is. Shall I say it again? The true deliverance is to be freed from the power and the influence of darkness. That is what deliverance really is. It might shock you to know that, that's why I said I'm not against deliverance ministry, but I'll get to that when I'm closing. It might shock you to know that when you gather someone and the person is saying, okay, what's your name? I'm Queen of the Coast. Yes, I'm Queen of the Coast. You say, how many are people in there? You say, we are two. One used to make her to steal, the other one used to make her bed wet. It might surprise you to know that when you cast out that devil, you've not done deliverance. Are you here? Now, if you're hearing this for the first time, that's why I have to open your ear. Follow me. He said, who had delivered us? So that word means to be rescued from one place to another. And so, notice this verse. Paul states it as something that has happened. Did you observe it? Okay, let's play with these verse. Different translations. He said, who has delivered us out of the power of darkness? Maybe NLT. And it said, for he has rescued us from the kingdom. You know the kingdom of darkness? Karashka kingdom. He has rescued us from there. What that means, we were all there. Hello? You were in Karashika kingdom. No, you don't need to be flying in the night to know. The Bible says, as if the Bible says you're a fool, you're a big fool. Remember I said that? He said, he rescued us from the kingdom of Karashika. Sorry. From the kingdom of Naga, the prince serpent. No, what did he rescue us from again? Barracuda. Did you watch Barracuda? Hallelujah. He rescued us from death. Probably like another translation, maybe amplified or something. He rescued us. The Father has delivered and drawn us to himself out of the control and dominion of darkness. So you were under, whether you know it or not, you were under the control and dominion of darkness. But now, you have been delivered. It doesn't matter whether you know it or not. It doesn't matter whether you feel it or not. So deliverance, according to this verse, at least so far, has happened. Is it very clear? He didn't say he will. Deliverance, according to this verse, is something that has happened. Okay, go back to King James. He has delivered us out of darkness. Oh, okay, so when did he deliver us? How did he deliver us? Just go to verse 12. Let's now read 12 to 14 together. Now, look at the screen. I'll let you together. Giving thanks. 1, 2, 3, go. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us to be meet, to obey us to his Father, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. Where? Verse 13. Who has, from the power of darkness, and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now, you notice there's a colon there, right? Okay. There's a colon there, right? Now, verse 14. In whom we have through the... So, verse 13 says, he delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us. And now put a colon to explain what he was saying. Did you get the point? What did he now explain it as? Redemption through his blood, forgiveness of sin. Is it very clear? Put up like NLT. Let's see 13 or 14 with NLT. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son. Verse 14 now says, who purchased our freedom. And so how did God deliver us from darkness into light? And so the forgiveness of sin is what Paul was calling deliverance. Are you following at all? Put up like Amplified. Let's see 13 and 14 together. He said, the Father has delivered and drawn us to himself out of the control and dominion of darkness, has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Verse 14 says, in whom redemption through his blood, which means, so what is redemption? So it is the forgiveness of sins that Paul will call deliverance. So what does it mean to be under the power of darkness? It means to be in sin. Hallelujah. What does it mean to be delivered? It means for your sins to be forgiven. Very simple thing. You see, some things can be too simple that you need a theologian to confuse you. Get the point? He delivered us from the power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. So sin is the darkness. Forgiveness is the deliverance. Hallelujah. Okay, let's take this step further. Let's go to the Old Testament. Obadiah chapter 16, verse 17. Please be fast about that. Obadiah 16, verse 17. Have you written it on your notes? So you know Bible like this. Obadiah verse 17. Some of you are looking for verse chapter 16. Now Obadiah, you know that part of scripture you refuse to read all this while. He's staring at you now in church. Open it. Obadiah verse 17. But upon Mount Zion. Have a little Koba. They preach from this. We preach from here. Yeah. Upon Mount Zion there shall be deliverance and holiness. So is somebody, do you know somebody preach from this scripture to say that you need deliverance before you get saved? If you're not delivered, you cannot be holy. Do you know he's correct? There shall be holiness. And so before you possess your possession, you must go for deliverance. I'm not joking. Hallelujah. So look at this. That word deliverance there, because we're going to look at that scripture closely, but I want to show you what deliverance really is. I will not show you that deliverance simply means being called out of darkness into light. That's what deliverance is. So when we are discussing the fact that we are called out of darkness, we are discussing your deliverance. Such that session, that deliverance session you have booked listening to me right now, should be cancelled. Hello. Glory. And some parents take their kids for this deliverance. One occasion, they rubbed oil on a certain lady's body from head to toe. On another occasion, they packed, if you see the day, oh God, that, see, the devil is wicked. If you see what they packed for this girl, they gave her, there is one that is cream, there's one that is soup, there's one different thing that she has to be putting in her water, rubbing on her body before she have, when she wants to have a bath, so that the demon can now go far, far, far. Some of you are like that. It has happened to you, but don't worry. I came to calm the waters, okay? Look at this. So that word deliverance is the Hebrew word peleta. I don't know if I pronounce it well, but I'm going to spell it P-E-L-E-T-A-H. P-E-L-E-T-A-H. Now, what it actually means, it refers to a people. It means an escaped remnant. It means an escaped lot. It does not really refer to an action. It refers to a people. I say it again. It does not refer to an action. It refers to a people. Let me help you. Do you have New English Translation, NET? If you don't, check if you do. If you don't, check Easy English. Do you have Easy English? Let's work with Easy English. So it says, upon Mount Zion, there shall be Peleta. It means there shall be a delivered people. It's not referring to an action of deliverance. They have Easy English. They have ISV. Okay, let's. If they don't have it at media stand, who has? Get her a mic. Get her a mic. Okay, we now have his English. Okay, sit down. Thank you. God bless you. Don't mention. Now, but in Mount Zion, there shall be what? Those who. What's that? You have anything? Okay, we're coming to that. Look at it. But in Mount Zion, there shall be which people? So he's referring to a people. Are you at the point? So he was not referring, he's not referring to that on Mount Zion we shall be doing deliverance. He said, so you know, in other words, in on Mount Zion there shall be a delivered people. He's not saying on Mount Zion there shall be a deliverance. I feel I'm talking about at all. There shall be a set of people. Okay, take the mic. If that's NET, New English Translation. Did you have it right? Okay. He has it. He has the mic already. Let's read from there. Okay. Listen carefully.
But on Mount Zion, there will be a remnant of those who escape.
There shall be what?
A remnant.
A remnant of those who escaped. That's what I wanted to say. So, that word deliverance there does not refer to an action. I get the point. It's referring to what? A people. So, there shall be those who escape. And so, where will this happen? Come on, where will this happen? On Mount Zion. Where is Mount Zion? Romans chapter 9, verse 31. Because I want to explain this scripture for you. On Mount Zion, there shall be a set of people. One thing that will characterize them is that they have escaped, or rather, they've been delivered. They have been liberated. They have been delivered. Now, Romans 9 begins to talk about Mount Zion. He said, but Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Work with NLT letter. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. Go back. Who is the stumbling stone? Who does that call a stumbling stone there? Hey, come, I will fight today. Continue, verse 33. He now quotes another Testament scriptures, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a what? And what is that? Who is he referring to? That's Christ. He's referring to Christ as a rock of offense. And as, how do you know that? And whosoever believeth on shall not be. Do you understand the point? So he's referring to Christ as the rock set in Zion that someone has to believe in. Are you at the point? And so, before you even know where Zion is, who is in Zion? Hello? Okay. So, Christ is that rock. Put up NLT. Let's go from 31. Christ is the rock that has been set in Zion. He said, but the people of Israel who tried so hard, I like this place, so, to get right with God by keeping the law, never succeeded. Verse 32. Why not? Because they were trying to get right with God by keeping the law, instead of by trusting in Him. They stumbled over the great rock in their path. So, the rock, which is Jesus, that was meant to save them, they stumbled over it. Why? They wanted to get by their efforts. Now verse 33 now says, God warned them of this in the scriptures when he said, I am placing a stone in Jerusalem. That's Zion, right? That makes people stumble. A rock that makes them fall. But anyone who trusts in him, so that rock is a person. And so in Zion, so in other words, Zion is a spiritual place. Physically, there's a place they refer to it as Jerusalem, but Zion is actually a spiritual place. So when the Bible said upon Mount Zion, it's not referring to a place, it's referring to your church. It's referring to a place where a rock is found that people have to believe in. So where Christ is. So I can simply explain Zion as the kingdom of God in Christ. Look at 1 Peter 2 verse 6. 1 Peter 2 verse 6. So Jesus is that rock in Zion. Just to explain this rock thing, 1 Peter 2 verse 6 says, wherefore, also it is contained in scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a what? Chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be. So, who is in Zion? Christ is in Zion. So, Zion is where Christ is, right? It's the kingdom of God in Christ. Are you still here? Come on, are you still here? So, it's the kingdom of God in Christ. So, upon Mount Zion, Obadiah 1:17. Where is this Mount Zion? In that place where that rock is, right? In that place where Christ is. So, can we call it in Christ? Huh? Okay. So, in Christ shall be deliverance. That's what I taught you. Shall be a delivered. Uh-huh. So, he is trying to explain that there shall be a place called Zion in Christ where everybody in there will be a delivered set of people. Did you get it? So where are we today? We are in Zion, right? Are we in Zion? Where are we today? We are in Christ. What does that mean? Upon Mount Zion, there shall be a peleta, okay? A set of people that have been delivered, that have been liberated, that have been translated. So deliverance is not something that will happen to you. It's something that has happened to you. Doesn't matter whether, I know some of you, but I'll get to that, you might be oppressed, you might be addicted. It's not deliverance you need. How many of you ever struggled with a habit and you went for deliverance? Did it work? Huh? You know, there's somebody here now. It's not prophecy. It's somebody I'm looking at now. You know how she got saved by me, but how she got saved, that she met me for deliverance. And I gave it to her. Hallelujah. Since I'm possessed. I finished the meeting some time ago, and I was leaving the meeting. One young girl was just running. You know how we leave meeting like men of God? Walking so fast. One young girl was running and following me. I said, what is it? He said, I'm possessed. Help me. I said, you are possessed? She said, yes. I said, who told you I'm possessed? He said, my mom said I'm possessed. They took me to this prophet. He said, I'm possessed. Took me to that prophet. They said, I'm possessed. And I'm not doubting the fact that evil spirits trouble people. I'm going to come to that. But that's the extreme of this teaching. I didn't get the point. Evil spirits trouble people, two of us. But if the person is in Christ, it's not deliverance he needs. That's what we call exorcism. What we call casting out of devil. Thou foul spirit, come out of her. That's what it is. It's not deliverance. The person has already been delivered. So she came to me. This particular girl had nothing wrong with her. Nothing. But then, they said she was possessed. And possessed things were not happening to her. You know, once they say you are possessed and you agree, you start seeing possessed dreams. You've drank blood in your dream. You've eaten human flesh. Huh? Some people I know used to dance in their dream. Very yellow and red. is just Nigeria movie. Why is it that the dark God will belong to your dream? They don't need to wear Gucci or Versace. The only thing they wear is yellow and green, no, yellow and red, and are dancing half and so. You know it, okay? We are on the same page. Same thing every day. And as some of you, when you are done watching that film, you dreamt about it. Oh! And where did that come from, man? It's been a while. Long while. Hallelujah. And so that's not. So she came to me, and they have done. They even put. There was the times they, she went there, they rubbed oil on her from head to toe. And they will keep her. So I just said, she finished talking. I just said this in my heart. I didn't have much light then. I just looked at her. I said, what's your name? She told me. I said, she finished talking. I said, but tell me true. Are you possessed? She said, no. I said, but then I said, tell me, since I'm possessed. She said, I'm not. She said, do you feel possessed? I said, sometimes. I said, but are you possessed? She said, no. I said, fine. So I prayed for her, led her to Christ on that spot, got her filled with the Holy Ghost on the spot. I told her, see what I'm going to do. So when you get back there, I just told her what to do. So she went back again, and the mother said, we are going for deliverance again. And she called me. I said, I've taught you what to do. And then she went there that day, sat with the man. The man started talking. And she looked the man in the face. I'm telling you, sorry, for some of you who need it. I said, sir, I am not possessed. The man said, no, sir, let me tell you something. I am born again. I have the Holy Ghost. She talked, you know, I'm born again. I have the Holy Ghost in me. Sir, I pray in tongues. Also, so then I got saved. Jesus came into my, I gave her the exact words to use. And she talked and talked. The man said, wow, you are born again. Who led you to Christ? Well, who is your spiritual father? Oh, that's good, though. Not on that. See, this, your daughter is a minister. And that was it. And I said, wow. So she felt so happy. I said, see, even whether the man admitted it or not, the Bible is the Bible. If you're flying in your dream and you don't like it, stop. She said, can I stop flying in my dream? Very simple. Try it this night. Next time you fly, just tell yourself, man, this is a dream. Wake up. That is it. They used to do it. Just say, man, this is a dream. This is just a dream. Just wake up. It doesn't mean you need any deliverance. Upon Mount Zion, in Christ, there shall be delivered people. And so these people have been delivered from the power of darkness. We are free from that power. We are free from the power of darkness. We are asking them. So we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, called to show forth the praise of Him who has called us out of darkness. See, that has happened. Hallelujah. We are called out of darkness. So everyone in Christ has been forgiven, delivered. Now, back to Colossians 1, 13, 14. What is that deliverance again? Forgiveness. So what he was saying is, upon Mount Zion, there shall be a set of people whose sins have been forgiven. Do you get the point? Who have been delivered from the power of darkness into light. Whose sins have been dealt with. Who Satan has no claim over them again. Those people. Look at Colossians 2 verse 15. Mahalaba shande komarata. It tells us what happened. You know, who controls darkness? Satan is the god of this world. Satan is darkness personified and all. But look at what Jesus did to Satan. And having spoiled. Now, I like you to look at that word spoil. What does it mean to spoil something? Don't say what you don't know. What does it mean to spoil something? It's not destroy. Okay. If I say, we spoiled them. What does it mean? You collected. It's a war term. When you go for battle, after the battle, you collect the spoil. The spoils. Get the point? You collect their goods. You collect their captives. If they have slaves, you take their slaves. Get the point? Now, having spoiled principalities and powers. And so he spoiled them. Another translation will say he disarmed them. He collected everything that was theirs. He means to strip. Put up like amplified. To strip. Put up amplified. God disarmed the principalities and powers. No, there's a translation I like about. I like with this message. Have you message? This is what I like with this verse. He stripped all the spiritual tyrants in the universe of their sham authority at the cross and marched them naked through the streets. And so he was streaming and was now carrying them, shouting, Norma Onyo Shabacha. Did you watch the film? You know, they put their bacha on your head. Naked. That is what God did to Satan. And you think, how did he do it? You think they were involved in a fight? Go to verse 13. This question, go back to King James. How did he strip them? How did he disarm them? How did he collect their spoil? And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, had he quickened together with him, having forgiven all your, verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against you, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Verse 15 now says, and have put up NLT. Let's work with NLT from verse 13. In this, okay, you were dead because of your sins. And because your sinful nature was not yet cut away, then God, Mate Lakoya, made you alive with Christ. For he forgave all our sins. He cancelled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it. Now verse 15. In this way, so it was by what happened on the cross that Satan was stripped. It wasn't a fight in heaven. The fight in heaven happened on the cross. No, you didn't get that. That fight in Revelation, there was war in heaven, happened on the cross. It was on the cross that Satan was stripped. In this way, he disarmed. He shamed them publicly. So that did not happen by a physical combat of war start. Say, hide, hide. Pish. I don't know if you tried what's that. Man, you notice I miss being a child. Like, hallelujah. And what's that is very funny. They can shoot you, I refuse to die. He said, you shot only my hand. And as I was now dying, I shot you back. So, hallelujah. But, you know this, that wasn't what happened. The real contest was on the cross. Arm, it was on the cross. So, by the forgiveness of sins, go to verse 13 with NLT. By the forgiveness of sins that came through the cross, that was how Satan was disarmed. Because the dominion he had over us was sin, it was darkness. Get the point? But then, by our sins, look at you, you are dead because of your sins. That was the dominion he had over us. And because your sinful nature was not yet cut away, then God made you alive with Christ. How did he make you alive with Christ? He forgave all your sins. How many of you believe that your sins are forgiven? If you're still doubting whether your sins are forgiven or not, you just need to sit down and listen. Stop arguing. Your sins are forgiven. All of them. And listen. This is the part we preach and they get confused. Even your sins to come. Now, I know the question. I am saying that. No, even your sins to come, Jesus has dealt with it. You say, how are you so sure of that? Are you expecting that when Jesus died, when you sin again, Jesus will still go and die? Don't you realize that when you die, when you sinned rather, all your sins were in the future. When Jesus died rather, all your sins were in the future. You have never come. That time you are not even born. So he prepared for your sins in advance. So why would you think that believing in him just handled the sin you committed before you got saved? And then as when you now get saved, it's now pay as you go. It's not it. He paid for all the sins. All your sins, he forgave them. Now, somebody, remember that thing I said last week? I said, well, so are you now saying that what we should now do is we should now continue sinning? No. I said, when we tell you that your property is waterproof, remember I used that last week? When we say your phone is waterproof, what we are not saying, it doesn't mean you should now go and leave inside swimming pool. Or before you sleep every day, you go and throw it inside swimming pool and say, ah, you're waterproof, stay there. We are not saying throw your phone into the pool. We are saying in case it falls into the pool, it has been covered. So 1 John 2 verse 1 was right when he says, my little children, I write unto you that you may not sin. That is God's intention. 1 John 2 verse 1. Halabako marata. 1 John 2 verse 1. My dear children, I am writing this to you. So the reason we are writing, the reason I'm preaching, it's not for you. The reason I'm saying all your sins are, it's not for you to continue sinning. It's so that you will not sin. But if, because I understand the reason I produce this phone is so that I can be using it without throwing it into the water. But I know there are chances that you can even fall into a pot of soup. Did your phone not fall, has your phone not fallen into soup before? Oil. I know there are such chances. If anyone, I'm not saying you should go and throw your phone into oil. But I'm saying it can happen. He said, if it happens. He didn't say you should start crying. What did he say? There is an advocate already doing the job. So Jesus already seated at the right hand of the Father as your advocate. So the next time you make a mistake, it doesn't make you unforgiving. Just remember your advocate. I get the point. Remember your advocate. That's why when we say we are forgiven or we are righteous, we are not counting on our righteousness. Hallelujah. We are not saying we did well. Look at Romans 9 verse 31, 32, 33. Let's read it again. So forgiveness is not something that God. That's why I told you, underline the fact that he called us. It was him. He didn't say we have jumped out. No. He called us. He was the one. Put up NLT. He said, it talks about Israel. He said, the people of Israel who tried so hard to get right with God by keeping the law never succeeded. So trying to do right will never keep getting success. Verse 32 now goes on to say, why not? Because they were trying to get right with God by keeping the law instead of by trusting him. Verse 33 now went on to say, God warned of this in the scriptures when he said, I am placing a stone in Jerusalem. To anyone who trusts on him will never be disgraced. Next verse. That's chapter 10 now. Dear brothers and sisters, the longing of my heart and my prayer to God is for the people of Israel to be saved. Verse 2. For I know what enthusiasm they have for God, but it is misdirected zeal. For they don't understand God's way of making people right with himself. Refusing to accept God's way, they cling to their own way of getting right with God by trying to keep the law. So, by your works, you cannot be right with him. But then, you have believed in him, right? Sins have been forgiven. That is real deliverance. Fasting does not guarantee deliverance. You hear the point? Even prayer will not do it. Cornelius was an unbeliever who was a devout prayer man. Yet God, an angel appeared to him and said, send for Peter. He will tell you what to do. Peter came and preached the gospel to him and he got saved. Because that prayer he was praying could not minister it. Let's do the song he's playing. In Christ alone my hope is found. Lift up your voice, sing it like you know it.
My hope is found. He is my life, my strength, my sorrow.
If you have his spirit on the screen.
Of peace,
start again. I'm going to give you the. Okay, it's on the screen already. Let's do it again. 1, 2, 3, go. 1, 2, 3, let's sing it.
In Christ,
my hope is found.
My hope is found.
He's my light, my strength, my song.
He's my light, my strength.
In Christ,
my song. This cornerstone. This solid ground. Stand through the fiercest drought and storm. What height of love. What depth of peace. When fears are still. When strife is still. My comforter.
My all in all.
My all in all.
Here in the love of Christ I stand.
Here in the love of.
Second stanza. Sing it like, think about it. Let's do that second stanza. Second stanza, come on.
May Christ alone,
who took on flesh?
Who took on flesh?
Fullness of God in helpless babe.
Fullness of God in helpless.
This gift of love and righteousness.
This gift of love and righteousness. Scorned by the one singing.
Till on that cross as Jesus died.
Till on that cross as Jesus
the wrath of God was satisfied.
The wrath of God was satisfied for every sin. On him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live.
Let's do verse 3. Okay, sorry, verse 3. I like verse 3, but then I like verse 4. But let's do verse 3.
There in the ground,
his body lay.
His body lay.
He's telling the salvation story.
Light of the world by darkness slain. Then watched him for in glorious day. Up from the grave he rose again.
Yes, 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 yes.
And as he said, in victory.
Since God has lost his grip on me.
Since God has lost.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
His grip on me.
Hey, I'm a little bush and
the other. For I am he.
Whoa.
Till he returns, all calls him.
Jesus.
Of death.
Till he returns.
Or calls me home.
Here in the
power of Christ. Of death.
Shamalate Kobara. You see, this is where our confidence also. I'm talking about forgiveness or deliverance. It's not what any pastor did. It's not about pushing your head up and down. It's about what Jesus has accomplished by his death, by his resurrection. No power of hell. So even if you see flying bats in your dream, no power of hell.
No scheme of hell.
Yes. Holy Ghost wherever you are. I still have some things to say, but then pray the Holy Ghost wherever you are. I'll continue teaching now.
Here in the name of Christ I stand. Take on me all. Upholds me all.
Have another
mercy on me. Here in the name of Christ I stand.
In Christ alone. Who took on flesh?
Fullness of all in hell. Bless me, this gift of love and righteousness. Stand by the one sin name.
Seal on that cross.
Seal on that cross. On him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I lived.
So he died to give us life. So it was by his death that we live today free, delivered, liberated. Sit down for a moment. Just talk in tongues. I just sense this here. My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor greed. I trust there. His wounds for me shall bleed. I need no other argument.
I need no other plea. It is enough
that
Jesus died.
For me, that Jesus saves,
this ends my fear and doubts.
As
sinful soul, I come to him. He'll never cast me out. I'm
after this song came to me, I don't need any other deliverance. It has happened. I need no other plea.
It is enough. Jesus died.
Let's repeat this last part. It is enough that Jesus died. Let's everybody sing like the way you're singing.
That Jesus died. And that he died for me.
It is enough, say.
It is enough.
It is enough.
That Jesus died.
Abalaya, man. When you want to become right with God by your works or by some deliverance, when you think that that is what is going to make God accept you or make you go to heaven, you are saying the death of Christ was not enough. But as for me, it is enough
that Jesus died and that he died for me.
So when he died for me, that was all. Get the point? That was all the deliverance I needed. That Jesus died.
That he died. For me.
It is enough one more time.
It is enough.
It is enough.
That
my father died.
And that he died for me.
Hallelujah. That's all we needed. So, that's all we needed to be free from the power and the dominion of darkness, his death. That was all we needed. And so when he died, it was our deliverance. So when the Bible talks about how he spoiled principalities and powers, you will not think it was about a fight. No, it was his death. His death was the victory. In Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14, it talks about how he destroyed Satan. And you now think that destroying Satan, put up King James, you now think that destroying Satan was talking about maybe him coming to shoot Satan and Satan died. That word destroy obviously means to annul. He said, for as much then as children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. That's true. He might destroy. So how did he destroy him that had the power of death, which is the devil? How? Through death. So does it mean Satan has been destroyed, like Satan does not exist again? No, that's not what I'm saying. When we say destroy, it means to strip him of his power, his dominion, his mind and everything. Get the point? To annul his power. How did he do it? Through death. So the victory was the death. So I can tell you, Satan dug his own grave when he killed Jesus. When he stirred the hearts of men to crucify him, he dug his grave through death. So how are we delivered? Verse 15, through death. And delivered them who through the fear of death. So how did he deliver them who through the fear of death have been... a lifetime subject to bondage. How did he do that? Verse 14 tells us, through death. So put up 14 and 15 together on the screen. And that he died for me. So join them together and put them on the screen. So we read them as and ignore the chapter and the verse division. So let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. For as much then, children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. That is who? The devil. And so how was the devil destroyed? Through death. How are we delivered? So it's the same flow of thought. You get the point? So it was the death of Christ that was our deliverance. Like NLT of this verse, These verses. Because God's children are human beings, made of flesh and blood. The Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die. And only by dying could he break the power of the devil, who had the power of death. Only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to fear, to the fear of dying, to fear of hell, fear of eternal condemnation. When he died, he set us free from that power. So we are delivered. So the real deliverance has happened. How did it happen? You are called out of darkness into light. When Jesus died, he paid, and were delivered. Who are delivered? Who are delivered? So his death was the real fight. That was the real deliverance. That was the real contest. Hallelujah. So through death, he not only stripped the Satan of his power and his dominion and what have you, he delivered us. Do I have delivered men in the house? This today is Mount Zion. You get the point? Upon this mount, there are a set of people that have escaped, that have been delivered. Now, listen. Maybe I'll just say this one more thing and then we close. Have you been blessed? So, how do men receive deliverance? Some people think that deliverance is what you pray for. No. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18, Jesus was quoting Isaiah. And he gave a very powerful commentary on this. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to do what? To preach what? The gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal and to preach." So you find out deliverance is not prayed, it is preached. Did you get that? Deliverance is preached. So when someone really needs deliverance, we preach deliverance to him. What is that deliverance? The gospel. The gospel. The gospel. So if you have received the gospel, you have received the deliverance. If you are yet to accept the gospel, you're hearing it now. That's what you're hearing now. The Father Jesus has paid for your sins with his blood. You accept it now, you've been delivered. But then, if you've not accepted it, go for every deliverance. Let them turn your head. You will fall and get up. You are still in bondage. One or two devils could jump out of your head. We are still in bondage. Because the real bondage is not in your body. A devil can make you sick in your body. Even the believer, you know it can happen. A devil can oppress you, oppress your pockets, oppress your finance. But that devil cannot claim ownership of you. You get the point? And when you find that oppression, what do? You rise against it. Bible says, resist the devil. Why can we even resist the devil? Because you have been delivered from his power. Now, it's funny when you tell someone you claim that has not been delivered to pray to be delivered. If you are under a master, you cannot talk to him anyhow. The reason you can look at the devil and say, "Take your hands off my finance," is because through we've been delivered from his power. If we are still under his power, we cannot talk to him like that. I don't even get the point. So if you find oppression in your life, you can rise as who? As a delivered person. Someone who is no longer under the influence of this man. I don't know if you watch all these slave trade movies. When you are a slave, you can't say anything. They tell you what to do. They tell you when to move. They tell you when to stand. If you rebel, they can kill you. But when you come out from that bondage, you can look them in the eye and say, "This is what is going to happen." Because I'm a free man. So if you think you are not delivered, you need deliverance, then there is no point praying against the devil, because that's rebellion. Did you get the point? That's rebellion. If you think you are still under the power of darkness, why are you praying, rising against your master? The reason we can stand and speak back to the devil is because in reality, we have been called out of darkness. In reality, the power of darkness has been broken off our lives. And so what people do that they call deliverance ministry is actually simply casting out of devils from people. devil can even be cast from an unbeliever, but he's not still saved. Deliverance, of course, that the word deliverance has been used different ways in the Bible. You can find deliver from evil. Paul would say, pray for us that we deliver from wicked unreasonable men. That's talking about physical stuff. So I didn't get the point. The real deliverance is within. It is not prayed. I can pray for Satan to come out of you. I can pray that I be delivered from some armed robbers. I didn't get the point. I can pray that I be delivered from a sickness. But when we're talking about the very deliverance that is seen in the Bible, that delivers someone from, that stops someone from being possessed. I know now. It's not prayer. He has to hear a message. So Jesus said, the Spirit of God is upon me. He has anointed me. Don't you realize that there were some people Jesus cast out devils from when he was on earth, but none of them was saved until he died and they believed in him. The madman of Gadarene, know him, Satans were driven out of him. He wasn't saved until if he believed the gospel. I didn't get a point. We can probe your finances and cast out Satan from there and begin to flourish. We can do all of that, but that is not salvation. That is not deliverance. And if you have been delivered, then you can address the devil however way you like. Hallelujah. You can talk to him. That's why, you see, you find some manipulations around your life. Maybe not today. I'll talk to you about it later. You find some things. It's not time to look for deliverance. It's time to know, okay, I've been delivered. I'm not under the influence of this power. You see why, how I pray over the devil. If I've been delivered from your power, then you have no right to still keep me here. So I pray with confidence because I know you are trespassing. I mean, if Satan is found in your finance, that's trespassing. You get the point? If Satan is oppressing your health, that's trespassing. If Satan is oppressing your family, he's trespassing because you've been delivered from his power. So any other thing he's doing is illegal. I don't know what I'm talking about at all. And you can legally say, take your hands off. So the real deliverance has happened to the man who is in Christ. If I remember, I'll just show one last scripture. There's a way Paul puts it. He's talking about the deliverance. He has talked about how we're delivered from darkness, from the power of darkness, from the power of the devil. But he now goes ahead to say, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 10, says you have been delivered, not just from darkness this time, not just from the power of darkness. He read us in a different way, 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 10. He says, and to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, that's Jesus, which delivered us from what? The wrath to come. That's a fire, now. He didn't say he will. So you have been delivered from evil, the devil, and even the wrath of the sugar. So you see, this deliverance covered your future. It's not what happens every Wednesday. Hallelujah. From the wrath to come. So this deliverance, not just from the power of darkness, even the power the evil is going to bring on earth in the future, he has been delivered from it. I say that LMP will be teaching on the Antichrist and all that. But listen to this. That's why when they say Antichrist is coming, it should not give you headache. When they say 666 is coming, it should not bother you. This is my face. Put the mark there. Nothing will happen. I have been delivered from the wrath to come. I don't know how you think that writing something on my forehead is going to take away salvation in Christ and now send me to hell. Is that how cheap salvation is? So Antichrist is going to come. They will put mark on people. Or put it. They say this biscuit is 666. If you eat it, bring it. Bring it. That rot that they are running away from, you have been set free from it. I say this to you. You see, the Antichrist will never manifest fully until we are gone. Have you know that? Until we are gone. So all these instances that give him mark, which mark? They should bring it. And will there be a physical mark that be given to people? Come to LMPO. Have a physical mark. What mark can land on someone's forehead and affect the spirit man? People that have the mark already have it now. it's unbelief in their heart. There is no further way to mark an unbeliever. He's marked. But the believer is marked too. He put a seal of identification on us. That's the Holy Ghost. So there is a mark on us already. It's not a mark. So the salvation, this deliverance, the wrath to come, that forthcoming wrath, Antichrist, CCCs, man of sin. What other name does he have? Is it Obama, Abi, Bill Gates that is Antichrist? Whoever is Antichrist, he cannot have power over this body. When Jesus, who is our life, shall appear, we shall all go. So rapture is not something that threatens me. I've been delivered from the wrath to come. Rapture excites me. The only thing that scares me about rapture is how much work I've done on earth here. Whenever they mention rapture, all I'm thinking about is, okay, how many people have I gotten saved? I'm telling you that okay. Sometimes I tell Jesus, calm down, we still have some work to do. That's the thing that gets me scared about rapture. Okay, today I need to get more people saved. I need to win more souls. I need to disciple more men. We need to cover this place. Do you get the point? It's not about heaven or hell. That wrath that is to come, we'll be delivered from it. So deliverance, this deliverance was total. Power of darkness, darkness, whatever you call it, even the wrath that he's going to bring, we are safe from it. It is enough. Stand of it. That Jesus died, and that he died for me. Have you found a song? Let's go start from the beginning. I want to sing it together. One, two, three, go. My faith has found. Let me hear you sing it like you know it. In device. Okay, sorry. I trust. This is the second verse. Go back to the first verse. He is. Go back to the first verse. Do you have it? I need no other argument. Song that says, my hope is built. At least you know that one, right? That Jesus' blood
and righteousness, I cannot trust the sweetest flame.
Covenant his blood support me in the world be flawed when all around my soul gives way. Hidden is all my hope and stay. Is this third part? Third part said, when he shall come with trumpet sound, he said, may I tell him if I know that's not correct. It's a prayer. I must be found. It's what I have to say. You know, you guys don't realize that we cannot get to the judgment of God, and God will say, I never knew you. You never knew who? Your house. You don't know who. That's a lie, yo. Let's face reality. You know me. You've been living here. And I've been living in you too. So even if you don't know me as your house, at least you know me as your tenant. Okay, but if you don't know me as your house, Bob said we are in him and he's in us. So you don't know me as your house, you know me as your tenant. So somehow you know me, sha. So when he shall come with trumpet, I know that I'll in him be found, pressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. Seeking deliverance.
All of the ground is seeking.
Hallelujah. So, in 3 to 5 minutes to close, I'm going to ask you to lift your voice and bless God. That's just what we're going to do. Just thank Him. Thank Him. Today is not for any prayer or anything. Just thank Him. For He has called us out of darkness. For the deliverance that has happened in Him. Thank Him. I want to hear you. Remember I said, when I say thank you, somebody say in your heart, lift your voice and bless Him. Just go ahead and bless Him. Bless Him. Bless Him. Bless Him. Bless Him for deliverance. Bless Him for that forgiveness of sin. He has delivered us from the power of darkness, from the scheme of hell, from the rods to come, from the influence or the dominion of death. He has delivered us in that He died and forgave our sins. Just take some more time. If you are listening to this message or you are following online, don't stop. Lift your voice. Let's bless Him. Let's bless Him. Let's thank Him. Let's thank Him. Shama Koma Rata. Let's bless Him. Let's honor Him. Thank Him. Thank Him. Recount His goodness. Recount the salvation. Recount His deliverance. Recount the fact of His deliverance. Oh, Mamante Lebo Rondo Lobo Shanda Labayanda. Recount His deliverance. Oh, this is the real supernatural deliverance. This is the real deliverance. Lift up us, let's bless Him. For delivering us and liberating us from the power of darkness and translating us. I'll come to that part next week. And translating us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Shama talaba ronto suko. Whoosh. Let's bless Him. Let's bless Him. Let's thank Him. Matala koma ratea. Mama le no no shadia. Word for you, my spirit. If you're following online or listening on ground, and you used to see a man come to you to make love to you, your dream, and then you're thinking you have a spirit husband, and then you don't like it, stop that devil from oppressing you. You see how? Simple. Tell him, let me never see you in my dream again. See, I have control even over my dream. Let me never. You're disturbing my sleep. Let me never see you in my dream again. I mean, you feel there is one devil somewhere? Tell him never. One of us said some time ago came to me and told me of how she will sleep because these things happen and see herself doing whatever in the dream. and wake up and even see blood all over her bed. That was a satanic manipulation. I hope you know that, right? That does not mean she's possessed. I said, let's stop it. I said, don't like it. I said, fine. I said, tell it. I don't never repeat again. That was the end. When she told me, I said, are you on your period? I said, no. I said, I'll see the blood on my pillow, everywhere, my clothes. And sometimes the blood is too much to be mosquito. You know, sometimes mosquito can behave like that. I said, today is the end. Never without drinking. It doesn't happen. Let me tell you, more than 5 years now. Never again. If you don't like it, stop it. You know why? Because the guy that is oppressing you, you've been delivered from his power. And I didn't show you that you've even been placed to sit above him. Get the point? And so you can tell him, let me not see you. So any day you feel Satan around you, what you're ringing in your head is trespass, trespass. He's trespassing. He's trespassing. So you can put some things on your door and say, no trespassing, please. Satan, no trespassing. Do that with your words. No trespassing. Not your hand on my finance. Not your hand on my health. Not your hand on my family. Not your hand on any part of my body. No trespassing. Stay clear. Because I'm not just free from your power. I have dominion over you. Hallelujah. And that happened just by Jesus going to the cross to die and forgiving our sins. Such a simple victory. It's called flawless. It's flawless victory. He didn't even return one blow. He thought he was doing it. He was bruising his heel. Put him on the cross. Did all of that. And when it was done, there was nothing left of Satan. Hallelujah. Are you grateful for God this morning? So bless God for God. Hallelujah. God is good. Hallelujah. So I'm delivered, right? I'm delivered. Hallelujah. So I've aborted some deliverance plans. And some of you that your parents or your guardians used to take money to people. Tell them to stop that rubbish. And what you don't realize is that maybe next week I may touch this. In all those movements, you might be opening the door of your family to evil spirits. I get the point. Because you are the authority. You might be opening the door of your home to demons. And I've seen this happen all over the place. Suddenly some things that have never happened in your family. Some of you are talking to you and they are remembering. Some things that has never been a trend in your family will suddenly become a trend. Because you went for deliverance or you went for something. Shut that door with your mouth. Hallelujah. I've been delivered. So Satan, no trespassing here. Mind your boundaries. Hallelujah. Same thing, no trespassing. Hallelujah. I'm free from your power, so no trespassing. Day your day, make I dare my day. Hallelujah. Stay on your lane. You know where you belong. It's not here. So instead of going for deliverance to fight satanic oppression, take your stand as a believer and fix this once and for all. So I'm a delivered man. My sins are forgiven. I am no longer under the dominion of Satan. Let's do one song 3 times. I am a child of God.
I'm no longer a slave.
A slave to sin. I am a child of God.
I am a child of God.
Slow down. You unravel me
with your melody.
Hey.
You surround me with a song
of deliverance
from my enemies.
Till all my fears are gone.
Till all my
Let's do this part again. Say you unravel me, say
you unravel me
with a melody,
with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance. from my enemy.
Till all my fears are gone.
Till all my fears are gone.
So I'm no longer,
a slave.
I am a child of God.
I am a child of God.
I'm no longer.
I'm no longer.
Turn the songs on the screen.
I stay
to see. I am a child of God.
I am a child of God.
From my mother's womb.
From my mother's womb.
Has called my name.
Love has called my name.
I've been born again, see.
I've been born again.
You split the sea. You split the sea so I can walk right through it. My fears are drowning by the
love. You rescued me and I will stand and see. I am a child.
Let's do it again. You split the sea. This morning, rescued men. Hallelujah. I'm a child of God.
I am a child of God.
I'm a child of God.
I am.
I'll continue saying it until it dawns on you.
Say, I'm a child of God.
Hallelujah. So we are rescued, right? Are you grateful to God for that? Let's bless Him. Now let's take this confession before we close. Say, I know I've been delivered from the power of darkness. I've been translated into the kingdom of Christ. I'm no longer a sinner. I'm no longer a slave to sin. I'm no longer under the dominion or the power of darkness. I've been liberated. I've been delivered. I stand in Zion as a delivered man, free from the power of darkness, from the power of hell. I've even been delivered from the wrath to come. Therefore, I'm not scared of rapture. Rapture excites me, for I know that I'm not going to be part of that wrath to come. I'm a delivered man. I'm forgiven in Christ. No more guilty, justified in Him. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.